You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
They deserve to get that day off. They deserve to get that time off. Dan and the Danettes, they deserve to have some time to chill amongst themselves, amongst their family members and the people that they know and love. But for the next 3 hours, people, you heard the names, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and we're working on getting my man Plexico Burris up in here. He's in a different location, but that's all right, because while we're trying to find him on the locale, TJ, we're going to knock this thing down. We got 3 hours of some pretty, pretty amazing topics. As you heard, you are listening to the Dan Patrick Show, but it ain't with Dan or the Danettes. It's with us.
We in here, man, in studio, about to have some fun, for us this morning, for others, a late morning.
Very late morning for some, but hopefully you're up and you're moving around as we march closer and closer to the new year, day and time. I want to jump right into this because we got so many great topics. So we want to jump right into this and get going. Obviously, from my former team in the city that I know and love so much, the DMV, Dwayne Haskins gets released this week. A lot of the discussion points we had going into this week during our show, Up On Game, we talked about just how things get handled, and when you handle things as irresponsibly or as immature as Dwayne has handled them, you put yourself in a compromising situation. This week we hear from Booger McFarland his thoughts on this situation in particular, but let's talk about this before we put the sound up. Let's talk about your feelings, your first reactions to Dwayne Haskins being let go from released, a former first-round draft pick being released at the end of the season.
Doesn't surprise me. That's the short. I'm not surprised because you saw that he was on thin ice when they fine him. He's a starter. He's not a starter. But we talked about this. Choices, decisions, and consequences. He made a bad choice, and now he's dealing with the consequence of that bad choice. But then you look on the flip side of this. Ron Rivera is turning the Redskins around from an organizational standpoint and getting them on the right track. But the Washington football team, they're dysfunctional. They're a dysfunctional organization, and so he gets drafted to the Washington football team, and the head coach didn't even want him. And it was
right
public knowledge that the head coach didn't want him. So as a player, when you're a quarterback, and it was said, Dwayne Haskins is talented, but he's going to need some time.
Mm-hmm.
The coach knew he was on a hot seat, and so he did not want him on that team. So I'm sure Haskins felt a certain type of way about that. Did he do what he was supposed to do? Absolutely not. 23 years old, when you can throw the ball like he can throw it, he's going to get another opportunity. He has probably the best agent out there in David Mulligetta with Athletes First. If he will listen to him and follow his lead and understand that this is going to be your last opportunity wherever he lands, he's going to be fine because he has arm talent. It's between the ears and decision-making that he's going to have to clean up.
You know what's interesting about what you just said? Not one time did you bring up a race card.
No. This is what I don't like is any time.
Hold on. I want to – because what you're about to say is going to go directly. Let's listen to this Booger McFarland sound, and then any time, I want you to continue that thought. Here we go. Booger McFarland, his take on the Dwayne Haskins situation.
Unfortunately, I've seen this too many times. Played in the NFL almost a decade. You played a long time. We've been around it for a long time. And oftentimes, young players, especially, and I'm going to go here, especially young African-American players, because they make up 70% of this league. They come into this league, and they ask themselves the wrong thing. They come into the league saying not, how can I be a better player? They don't say, how can I be a better teammate? They don't say, how can I be better, a better person? How can I get my organization over the hump? Here's what they come in saying. They come in saying, how can I build my brand better? How can I build my social media following better? How can I work out on Instagram and show everybody that I'm ready to go, but when I get to the game, I don't perform? Dwayne Haskins, unfortunately, is not the first case that I've seen like this.
Yes.
And it won't be the last. And it bothers me because a lot of it is the young African-American player. They come in and they don't take this as a business. It is still a game to them.
They look at it as this football.
This ain't football, right, man. This is a billion-dollar business.
Yes.
It's billions of dollars. They pay us a lot of money to talk about the game. So imagine what they pay these guys to play the game.
Yes. Yeah.
They play a child's game and get paid a king's ransom. And it bothers me because I saw a quarterback do it. I saw Jamarcus Russell do it. The number one pick in the draft, they gave him $40 million and he threw it down the damn drain because he didn't take it seriously. And it bothers me because there are a lot of jobs like this around.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to tell you, I've been retired a while. It's not a lot of jobs like that around.
Art?
I look at it like, I don't, the race thing, it doesn't resonate with me because Ryan Leaf isn't black.
No.
He's not.
He might have been the worst.
He's not an African. Like, it doesn't matter what race you are. And we were all like this. And every player that I know, when you get into the league, it's about football. We're not looking at it like a business. If black, white, it doesn't matter what you are. We all look at it as football, as a game. As you get into that contract negotiation in your second and third contract, but what people don't realize, you've matured. You're grown into a man by that time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand how things operate by that time. Then you start to look at it as a business. And when you start to look at it as a business at 23 years old, to me, you're concerned about the wrong thing.
Mm.
You need to enjoy the game of football. But common sense will tell you to make the right decisions. You don't get from high school to college to the NFL by making terrible decisions off the field. Very rarely will you. And so looking at it as a business at 23 years old, he made bad decisions that cost him his job. But to say, oh, it's African Americans, we have to do this every race. Mm-hmm. It's every race. But I will say this. I believe his leash should have been a little longer, but we don't know what was going on behind the scenes in practice, in those meetings and the discussions and talks he may have been having with people in that organization that they didn't like what he was doing after those conversations. That could also be the case. But to throw race in there, I don't see it because I played a long time, more than a decade, and it don't matter what race you are. They get it in.
Mm-hmm.
They get it in. And it may not become public knowledge, but they get it in and they go hard in the paint. And that's every single race. And it's not just the black guys.
I'll say this. I don't disagree with some of the things that book said. I think there is some validity to some of the things that he said. But what I will say is, in response, my reaction to it was, I was so busy worrying about being all that I could be, I did not take inventory of what other guys weren't doing.
Yes.
So for me, my idea of approaching the game was to work to be so good and work to be so strong and great at what it is that I was doing, that my influence would attract the people that take the same approach that I take. It's almost like, and listen, once you get to an older phase in your career, you sit back and you probably look a little bit more. You watch the younger guys. When we were coming up, it was more of an old school type of approach. So, you know, you'd have old, especially dudes like him, that you know, him and Warren Sapp were together, you know.
Dude,
Simeon Rice.
Look what he went into, though. He got drafted to a dysfunctional organization. When I get drafted to the Bengals.
Speaking of Haskins.
Yeah, speaking of Haskins. Okay. When I get drafted to the Bengals, we didn't even stay in hotels for home games, bro. I'm young. Uh-huh. The majority of the team is young. All the leadership is on the defensive side of the ball for the most part. I play offense, so I'm with the offense. Dude, Guys, we're going out Saturday night, and we play Sunday morning.
Oh, we had guys coming in from the strip club coming to team breakfast, dude, team
this
meal.
This is the true story. Straight up. And I'm not going to say who it is. I bailed somebody out of jail Saturday, or really Sunday morning at 6 or 7 a.m., and we drove to Paul Brown Stadium and played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 3 hours later. Mm. True story. Bailed him out of jail, and we went and played the Tampa Bay Bucs because he got arrested Saturday night, and they didn't release him till Sunday at 6 or 7 in the morning. That's a true story.
I think the idea of what's taking place here with Dwayne Haskins and Booger's take on it, a lot of times I feel like we take a look and we miss the total picture of it, right? So many people will sit there and call Booger out of his
name. I'm cutting you off. And he never gave me my money for bailing him out of jail either.
That's hateful. That is very hateful. Gavin,
I'm sorry.
Gavin, make sure you pay him his money back because you were totally wrong for that. Shots out to Gavin and Mr. Perfect in the back handling the duties. I think that we find ourselves focusing in on diminishing what Booger McFarland said and what he represents because he pulled the card out that nobody really wants to touch anymore, how sensitive things have gotten around racial relations and just being correct in how you talk about things. I didn't fully agree, but what I did agree with is the understanding of how business is handled. But I tend to take a different approach on it. If you feel that strongly about it, to give that type of dialogue and analysis on it, there needs to be more of a commitment to the development of the youth.
Dude, that's what these kids get their tails kissed all throughout their lives.
Yes.
Coming up in high school, I want you on my 7-on-7 team, so yes. I'm going to kiss your butt. I'm going to kiss your parents' butt. Oh, I want you to come to my college. So I'm going to recruit the heck out of you and tell you everything you want to hear. And they don't face adversity, especially when you go to a school like Ohio State. Every time you step on the field, for the most part, you are the best team. You compete, but you still get your tail kissed. Dwayne Haskins, he's at fault.
Oh, for sure.
He's 100% at fault.
But he's also ill-prepared.
He wasn't prepared for what he was about to experience in going. Dude, when you have a head coach that basically has gone on record and told certain people in the media,
don't fool with him.
I didn't want him.
He don't learn the offenses. He doesn't come in.
They're basically calling him a dummy.
A dummy, yeah.
And so then you get a fresh start with Ron Rivera, and this is where he didn't take advantage of an opportunity presented, because it was shown early that Rivera was turning this organization around. He was getting it back on the right track, and he made bad decisions at the wrong time, and he paid dearly. He will get another opportunity, and I hope he can fix this situation and be the quarterback that his talent warrants.
Well, there's a lot of meat on that bone. We're not done with that. We're going to continue that conversation.
Do you think he cares about football?
Today, I would say he cares about football. Yesterday, he didn't care enough about football.
Right. He didn't care enough.
He didn't care enough
to do the right thing.
But it still comes back to development for me. When I look at Dwayne Haskins, I say to myself, I'm not making an excuse for Dwayne Haskins and his shortcomings and his failures. He is totally culpable and has to deal with the repercussions and the consequences of his decisions. But what I will say is, when you're in the media, when you're a public figure, when you're an influencer, when you have a voice, and I don't know what Booger does on his own time, on his free time. But I know you, I know me, I know Plex.
We out there with these kids.
I'm never going to jump out there and put a kid, a young man, in this type of conversation forum that I know
can you not
properly prepared.
Go through your cell phone right now and look at text messages of you giving young players advice and things to do and not to
all
do.
Day long.
All day. I was all just doing long. It last night.
All day long.
And this is what we do. And so we can speak upon this because we're doing this daily to these kids that are in high school and in college. And whether they heed the message that we give them or not, we're giving them information and things to think about and say, ah, let me think about this.
Yeah. You know, I want to hear your opinions out there. If you're out there listening and you feel like you have something to say, something came to your mind, you wanted to debate it, call in. 877-996-6369. We're going to take your calls. That's on the Fox Sports call-in line, baby. We're up in here. It's the Dan Patrick Show with LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada. Hopefully we get Stretch Armstrong, Plexico Burris up in here. We're getting closer and closer to, to that next new year. We're trying to get to 2021. Man. All right. Dwayne Haskins released. If you got an opinion on the Dwayne Haskins releasing, if you got an opinion on Booger McFarland, get in on the caller lines. We're going to take your calls after this break.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, ow. That cameo right there.
Yeah. I ain't gonna hit y'all with no crazy bars, no crazy bars today because I'm just so good at it. So I don't really want to hit y'all. Oh no, maybe I might. Oh, come down, pretty ladies around the world. It's Big Var and TJ Hushmanzada talking on Dan Patrick Show because they taking a vacation and we gonna fill in for them. Yeah, I'm doing that bumble rap like
Man,
they do these days.
Hey, you started off pretty good though, and then it just fell off. You started off pretty
nah,
good.
No. That was how I planned it out, man. I just wanted it to work out that way. That was all it was. Hey, welcome back into the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio, man. It's TJ Hushmanzada you heard in there trying to hate on my crucial bars. But, you know, don't worry about it. We're talking Dwayne Haskins, released. Where did it all go wrong? And does he care about football? Wow. Well, let's take a caller. Let's get a caller in. Let's hear about it. Danny from Oklahoma.
Yes. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Buddies, how are y'all doing?
All right. How are you doing?
How are you, man?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Hope you all had a good holiday and wish nothing but the best in 2021.
Thank you. Back
hey,
at
just
you.
Real quickly. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Real quickly, can you gentlemen compare and contrast what's happening with Haskins and what happened to Johnny Manziel? They seem to be two peas in a pod.
You want to take that?
Yes, I'll take it. It's somewhat different. But the similarities are they both went to franchises that were dysfunctional,
true,
didn't have leadership from top to bottom. Whereas Manziel was given opportunities to play and more opportunities. Haskins may or may not be given those same opportunities, but it's so parallel. It's so similar in that the only difference, like we don't know how Manziel, we think we would like to know, would have handled being in a quarantine and you can't do this and that, probably would have made the same decisions that Haskins made. But when I saw this and I said, Haskins, Manziel, wow, very similar as far as couldn't get out their own way, couldn't figure it out, giving you opportunity after opportunity, and we just can't figure it out. Very similar, though, and Manziel was he not given that proper mentorship coming up that could help him make better decisions? And obviously that was a no.
See, a lot of people, when I was covering Manziel as local media in D.C. and we were looking at that draft, all I could recall was hearing about how well off his family was and how they had a different way of doing things. And maybe that was true. Maybe it wasn't true. I would say one of the biggest contrasts between the two was the level of expectation. I think the expectation for Johnny Manziel was so much higher than Dwayne Haskins coming into the league.
When you do what he did to Alabama, you know, we didn't see at that time. Nobody had shredded Alabama the way Manziel did. Nobody.
And not only that, but Johnny Manziel was also a much more polarizing figure. He was much more.
He was much more public figure than.
Yeah,
yes.
there was a tremendous love affair. Yeah, right.
Show me
Gavin
the money.
Show me the money. There was a much larger love affair and a better relationship.
He was ingratiated with the hip hop scene more so than what Haskins seems to be.
Yeah, I just look at Johnny Manziel. He might have been a victim of his own success and his own hubris and in a lot of different ways. When I look at Dwayne Haskins, maybe the biggest problem he could have, and this is something that hasn't been raised very much, at least not in our conversation this morning, he came home. He was drafted by his hometown, if you guys weren't aware of that. So a place where the two places, if you know Dwayne Haskins' story, you know ever since he was 7 years old, he wanted to be a quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. If you know the further story, the storyline, he wanted to play for the Washington, formerly known as the Redskins, growing up, now known as the Washington football team. So he ended up, I mean, if you want to talk about your trajectory, like hitting exactly what your goals are
it
on your punch sheet.
It was perfect for him.
So he hits Ohio State, has a perfect situation there. Comes in, plays well, then ends up going to a team where he's from, that he grew up loving, idolizing, and now he's there. I wonder and I suspect if the confusion of being at home, I always wanted to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Always wanted to play for the Steelers growing up. I can't say that I always wanted to play for Penn State. Love Penn State, but I had, you know, there were other teams that I liked before. It wasn't like this is where I'm going. This is what I want to do. So
but
I don't
Steelers
understand
was
that.
The, they
but
were the
Steelers. That was that. Yeah, I don't know how I would have handled being a young man in Pittsburgh. I grew up. I'm from East Hills. Now, if you from the Berg, you'll understand this. I'm from East Hills. That was the projects. All right, we moved from the projects, like Jeffersons, and moved on up and went to the north side of town. We moved to Ross Township, but because of racial situations that I was dealing with while I was in grade school, my parents put me into an inner city school. So then I go to the north side. And I'm going to school in Manchester. So I do Manchester, but my family is from Homewood. And if you know about Pittsburgh, you know that East Hills, Homewood, Manchester, the north side, put it to you like this. If you ain't from there, don't go there.
Right.
Right? So for me, I have a past. Right? I have people to this day, my G's, OG's, triple OG's, like I got G's. If I'm at home and I mean, even in DC, I'm paying for lawyers. I'm buying lawnmowers. I'm making calls to judges. I'm making calls as references to facilities so that family and friends can get jobs. There is countless amounts of things that I've done for people that I'm close with because I had made it to the league and there was this expectation that I now had to make sure that all these dudes that were around me and that I survived with, not thrived with, I survived with, now I have all this stuff that I'm having to do. And I felt like I was liable to have to do it.
You feel an obligation.
I just wonder if Dwayne Haskins was not protected and insulated enough from all of, because to me, if you are in a strip joint and you're in a gentleman's club back home after a loss, not a win, after a loss nonetheless. And you're doing those things. That says to me that has improper influences written all on it.
See, the thing is, it's not doing what he did. It's doing what he did in the time that we're in.
Mm.
We know, I don't believe Dwayne Haskins has children. He has a family. but you made a decision that can affect your teammates' family and their kids. And that's bigger than anything he could have done, because it was you're being selfish. But what have you done? And that's again, it was his preparation. It was things that he was possibly doing during the week that they didn't like. They didn't like the time that he was putting in. They didn't like what they were seeing from him during the week. And so when he's making these decisions and now it's public, they're quietly saying, I don't think he's preparing the way he should prepare, and now he's doing this. I don't
believe
we can
trust him. But don't you find there to be something? This is where the red flag went off for me. When he ducked the media.
That's frustration. Like,
I feel like there's a bigger, there's something bigger going on.
When you're the quarterback and you just been pulled, and I'm sure he was excited about that game. I'm sure he was excited. Okay, I finally get a chance to play again. Didn't think it would come this year. And then they pull him. Did he play great? No. His best receiver in Terry McLaurin was out. But you get, to me, that's frustration. That's immaturity by a young quarterback that doesn't know how to handle adversity, because when he was at Ohio State, all they did was win.
But I have to take and say, you went to one of the most spotlighted schools in Ohio State. If something doesn't go the way it's supposed to go, you still are in a position where you have to face the media.
I bet he was probably never pulled from a game at Ohio State that they were losing because of poor play.
But I would assume that there have been experiences where he's had to face the media about something. What I'm saying is your exposure to knowing what it is to be a quarterback at the highest level of where you are is something that he was – it's not as though he was not well-versed on that.
No.
Being in where he was at when he walked out on those cameras. He had to have known, I'm avoiding
you know what's
the media.
The crazy part is you had just been fined, stripped of your captaincy.
Which your legs are gone.
And then you play a game and you skip out on the media. Like, I don't understand.
That's his tailspin.
Yes.
That has tailspin written all on it for me. And that's more emotional.
But you know what happens? This is going to be a wake-up call for him. If he is the player and athlete that people assumed he would be, this should motivate him to a degree we have no idea, because they look, my contract is guaranteed. They're not releasing me. That's not going to happen. I have two more years left guaranteed for just over $4 million. I'm not going anywhere. And when you get that call, it's like your heart sinks.
It's a moment of reality.
A moment.
True
when,
moment.
It's almost like when you retire, we've been on a schedule for 20 years, and the itinerary for 8:10, be here. 8:27, be here. And now you're released, and it's like, oh, man, I'd be in a meeting right now. Oh, man, we'd be in walkthrough right now. You don't have that. And he's had that for so long. He doesn't have that today.
Mm-hmm.
He would be in meetings right now as we speak. And he's probably lost because he's been in meetings for so long at this point in time in his life.
I'm going to go back to an original point that I made in terms of development. And I'm going to make this very clear. It's something that I'm passionate about. It's what I do in my life's business, is understanding that we place such a priority on – It's very contradicting, actually. We want guys to be football players. We want them to be the athlete that they are and the player that they are in the sports that they're playing. But at the same time, as Booger said, there comes a point in time where we want them to be the business person that plays the sport. Like, you got to handle the business. You got to know it's a business, but you got to also do the sport.
When you approach it as business, they're saying, You're
worried about the wrong things,
so
right?
I mean, it's damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Here's my problem. My problem is that for all these years, when you're younger, you're playing high school or youth, and then you get to college, we are always making sure we are improving their skills and their strength. We are always focused as sports. There's always a focus on development of their strength and their skills. But we never make it a priority to develop these young men and women emotionally and mentally. And then when we see the insufficiencies of where their mental and emotional does not match and meet their physical skill, then we have a problem with the ones that don't, with the ones that don't handle it or show the capabilities of being able to maintain. This is a classic situation of someone who was not able to handle the weight of the pressure that has been on him. We've seen it 100 times. They transfer, they go into transfer portals, this identity crisis that our athletes and our kids are having goes so far down that you see it happen in youth athletics. They change teams, they change organizations. I don't recall this. When I played for Westview football team, I couldn't get on the field at the beginning. I wasn't good enough.
They change teams because it's a lesser team that reaches out to that parent and says, your son will play all the time on my team.
Okay.
And so that's what happens. And once that happens at a young age and you get used to, oh, I can just go here and things will be okay. Oh, I want to go here now. I don't want to be here anymore because I don't like it here anymore.
And then it continues on into high school. And then it continues on into college. And then it continues on like I mean, I don't know. Let's take another caller. Let's hear what another caller. We got AD in Orlando. What talk to us. What are you thinking about the Haskins situation?
I mean, I think it's a larger kind of thing about, if you remember when earlier this year when we were talking about the Rooney Rule and everything as well too. You don't have that representation at the top of these organizations or everything by African Americans. And you, instead of being so more focused on telling them and teaching them about the business side and how to be a professional, like you were saying earlier, we got a lot of African American coaches as opposed to a lot of African American executives. And so those players are coming up are so more focused on the field as opposed to what's happening on the outside and keeping those things away from you and focusing on what you need to do to be a better person, upbring your community, do that, different things. Like Herm Edwards is down in Arizona State. We haven't heard anything come out of that program because you know Herm has been there, done that. He can make sure things are happening. And Haskins, not trying to say anything about the Ohio State coaches or anything like that, but he never had that influence by a positive, just an African-American male in a higher level of prominence to where you can say, hey, man, this is actually what you need to do. It's not so much focus on the field and being a rock star off of it. It's, hey, you need to be professional, buttoned up, keep your business tight, make sure you're doing the right things.
Appreciate it, AD. I think it's a valid point. Listen, I don't think it necessarily has to even be a same race connection. I just think that there has to be a true commitment to full development. If you're not going to develop it fully, there's a problem.
And I tell this to the kids that I deal with all the time. When you talk to people, they always say, oh, man, the game is 90%. Mental, 10% physical. If that is the case, then why do we prepare ourselves the complete opposite? We prepare ourselves 99% physical and maybe 1% mental. If that's the case.
And that 1% mental is studying your game plan.
We need to put more time in preparing ourselves mentally if the game is so mental like everybody says it is, because all we do is physically prepare, but we don't mentally prepare at all, ever. And that's the biggest problem.
You have people that deal with so many different, you're going to deal with more things mentally and emotionally during your time than you are physically.
Oh, so many ebbs and flows mentally, right? Man, that if you can't
compartmentalize.
Yes, that word. Yeah. I'm tongue-tied right now. If you can't do that, it's tough because you're going to have some down moments.
Dark. And we all have dark moments.
And if you're not mentally strong and if you haven't prepared yourself, how do you get out of it? How?
But then we expect, you know, we see all of these, and this is going off into a whole nother tangent, but just a tad bit relevant to what we're talking about. Then we start talking about the whole idea of, you know, CTE and why guys are taking their own lives and different things like that. Have we ever stopped to think that we've never addressed our athletes on a mental and emotional level, and those things continue to build and build and build and build, and you can deal with it somewhat because the roar of the crowd, paycheck from the team, all of the popularity.
You and I will
right?
continue to do that, and hopefully the athletes that we mentor will pay it forward as they move along that path of being an athlete and trying to help other kids out the indeed. Way we've helped them.
Yeah, indeed. You're listening to the Dan Patrick Show with LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada. Plex is on the bench right now. His internet didn't want to be in the game.
He's on temporary IR right
we
now.
Got
we
got IR, to get yeah. back. We try to get him off IR.
Temporary IR.
We
yeah.
got calls. This is a great conversation. I want to keep it going. 877-996-6369. We'll continue to take your calls on the Fox phone line. You're listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartMedia. What a lovely place to do radio. I'll tell you what, TJ, it's just I really enjoy being here, man, and really cool to be on Dan Patrick with the Dan.
The Danettes, baby.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I just feel really good about what we're doing right now to keep the brand strong while they're taking a break. If you guys are listening, enjoy your time off, and I hope we're doing you proud.
Yeah, hope you approve.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
All right, let's keep this thing going. The Dwayne Haskins conversation continues on. Let's go to Virginia. David, talk to us.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's happening?
How you doing, bro?
Doing well. LeVar, been a fan of you since the Penn State days. We're
thank you.
People.
Thank you, sir.
Longtime Washington fan, followed Washington for generations now. Dwayne Haskins has all the talent in the world. Urban Meyer even said when he was going to be drafted, the man has all the talent, but he's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
His mental abilities is what has failed him. And y'all are exactly right in everything you said, man. We prepare these young athletes physically their entire life to do this job, but we do not prepare them mentally for the real world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a prime example. The Johnny Manziels. We can take it back to the Brian Bosworths. I mean, there is not a linebacker out there could hit like Bos, but look what happened to him, man.
Well, LeVar Arrington could, but go ahead. Well, I get what you're saying.
I'll hand it to the king of the But, you know, it's the thing, man. We prepare them for everything except reality.
Indeed.
You know, I'm a huge Virginia Tech fan. And this transfer portal, these kids get their little panties in a wad and move to another school. A young man sticking around at Virginia Tech for one more year. And, you know, that's hard to find these days because that program's fell off huge. But we need to start preparing them in the high school and collegiate levels to understand that they always don't get what they want.
You're a coach, Dave.
They're going to face adversities.
You a coach?
And they got to push.
Are you a coach?
No, I grew up playing. I would love to get in coaching.
Well, you might want to contact a high school because
you have
the
voice
way
for
you're
it.
Speaking – this is what the kids need.
That's what they need.
This is what they need.
I would love to do it, man. I'm going to tell you, I grew up in a small town with a school that sent 20-some athletes in 10 years to college. Two made it to the NFL.
Yeah.
Thomas Jones and Julius Jones.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
18, came back home without a college degree because they were not prepared for that level.
Understandable, man. We appreciate the call,
Dave. Thank you for your time.
I mean, there's a lot of truth in what he just said. I mean, that's – yeah. Come on, Greg. Greg in Florida, what you thinking?
Hey, LeVar.
Hey.
Nice being on with you. It's hard for me to say that because I went to the U. It's hard for me to to send compliments to any Penn State.
I understand.
Well, if you listen to LeVar, the U was actually the school he thought he was going to attend.
That was my first love.
Hey, guys, you guys are doing a great job. I just want to say this. I happen to be Caucasian, but we're the one people. This year it shouldn't have been BLM. It should be ALM. All lives matter. We're all one people. And it's just too bad that every time something comes up, Dwayne Haskins or this or that, when are we going to get over the race card thing? Like, it's just time to move on. I just think it's time. This should have been the year.
This should have been the year. You know what's interesting? The race card will always be a card that's present. One way or another, it's going to be present, Greg. And listen, for what it's worth, in this situation, I don't look at it as being a race card. I look at it as an ineptness to basically making sure that these guys are prepared mentally and emotionally for the things that they're going to deal with. It's not enough to call guys pampered athletes. You know, this is the reason why. That's just not enough. So, but as far as the race car is concerned, in some cases, yes, it is played out. It is overused, overstated.
It's not going away.
But it ain't going nowhere, believe you me. And for everybody who thinks because Black Lives Matter popped off in 2020 and COVID supported it, by no means should you sit there and think that when 2021 hits, that all of a sudden, magically, there will be no race cards being played, no racial tensions, no anything as it applies to that. It's just the reality of it. But what we can do is prepare ourselves much better for that. We are LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, powering along. Patrick Show, we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.